A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. The word of the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice. I love you, O Lord, my strength, O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praised be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies. The breakers of death surged round about me. The destroying floods overwhelmed me. The cords of the netherworld enmeshed me. The snares of death overtook me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
Obiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me? The Jews answered him, We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, You are gods? If it calls them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many there began to believe in him.
Verbum Domini.
We hear from the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading today. He was called by God from his youth to be a prophet, to preach conversion, and to call back to God, to preach moral reform. But his message, as we know, angered many people, especially those whose hearts were hardened. His words were often rejected by people. He foretold the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. And this particularly stirred up opposition to his preaching, since it was widely thought that if we simply have the temple, God's presence, God will protect us, despite moral corruption. But as a result of Jeremiah's preaching, he suffered persecution, flogging, and imprisonment. And even at one point, he was placed in a cistern that he might die of starvation. But God did deliver him. He rescued him. So Jeremiah suffered much for being faithful to God and carrying out that prophetic mission that God had entrusted to him. In a few verses before today's passage, Jeremiah is lamenting how hard it is for him to preach conversion to the people, since they don't receive it favorably. Jeremiah says, I've become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. And yet he's thinking and having this interior battle, you could say, thinking that if I don't, there could be a temptation just to not speak about God, not to preach conversion. But he says, if I start to think I will not mention God or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. In other words, he simply could not help but speak the word of God. The love of God urged him on, as St. Paul would later say, the love of Christ. He felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to preach the message that God had put on his heart. And of course, Jeremiah didn't much appreciate the suffering that often accompanied his preaching, but nevertheless, his heart was burning with love and zeal for God and the word of God. And his desire to make God and his word known prevailed, despite the suffering involved from his enemies. So in today's reading, Jeremiah makes a great act of trust in God, despite the persecution that he suffers because of it. And he describes how he is being denounced. He is even being betrayed by friends who have turned against him because of the uncomfortable message he's delivering. Yet again, Jeremiah still expresses his confidence in God, and he says, the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. He was absolutely convinced that God would be with him, despite the suffering that he would endure. He knew God would not abandon him, so he entrusts his life and his cause to the Lord. And as we're approaching Holy Week in just 2 short days, the church sets before us the example and these words of Jeremiah, since they point to Christ's own preaching and his own teaching of the truth, the need for repentance and conversion. And just as Jeremiah entrusted himself in the midst of great suffering to the Lord, so our Lord himself entrusts his cause to his heavenly Father, even though he would say in the Garden of Gethsemane that he could have easily called upon his heavenly Father to send more than 12 legions of angels to defend and protect him. And yet he allowed himself, he knew this was his heavenly Father's divine plan, to suffer for our salvation. But we know that opposition was very much present due to our Lord's preaching, again, just as it was foreshadowed by the life and message of Jeremiah. In fact, today's gospel opened up with a description of the Jews picking up stones to throw at him, to kill him, because he revealed very clearly a statement about his divinity, which they did not want to hear. He said immediately before today's passage begins, "I and the Father are one." This was too much for many of his listeners. They were convinced he was blaspheming, making himself equal to God. So they became filled with fury and hatred, and they wanted to kill him right then and there. But as we hear multiple times throughout the gospel, when the Lord was in a very difficult situation, it looked like many people were bent on killing him. We hear very simply in the gospels, it was not yet his hour. In God's divine plan, it was not yet his time to enter into his passion. So no matter what people were bent on doing to him, their evil intents would not be carried out, could not be carried out. And although they rejected the words and the teaching of Christ, as we hear in the gospel today, our Lord encouraged them to believe his works, which bore witness to him. Our Lord's always seeking out the strayed. He's telling those with hardened hearts, if you don't believe that I'm speaking the truth, look at the good works that God is doing right here in your midst. Our Lord came not for the righteous, but for sinners. And he's constantly inviting us to conversion and to turn wholeheartedly to him. And he gives us many graces every day, all the graces that we need for our salvation. So at this point in the gospel, there is a very clear divide, right, between those who follow the Lord and those who reject him, those who love the truth and those who oppose the truth. And we ask for the grace today to be faithful to Christ, whatever the cost or the demand might be, even when opposition may come our way, for being faithful to him. Now also, at the beginning of today's Mass, there's an option for two collects with regard to the opening prayer, and we prayed the second option, which had a very specific reference to Our Lady and her being united with her Son in his passion. And so this is in preparation for entering into Holy Week. And specifically, we call upon Our Lady and we look upon her as under the title Our Lady of Sorrows. And Our Lady's sorrows began with the prophecy of Simeon in Luke chapter 2, when she was told that a sword will pierce through her own soul. And these seven sorrows would culminate with the passion and death of her Son on Good Friday. Now, the Church teaches very clearly that Mary was associated more intimately than any other person in the mystery of her Son's redemptive suffering. And her first sorrow, which again was a prophecy by Simeon about a sword piercing her heart, it's often depicted in statues and in images with either one or seven swords piercing Our Lady's heart. And these seven sorrows are, after the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, when Saint Joseph and Our Lady fled to avoid the persecution of King Herod, when he wanted to kill the Christ child. Remember, Herod saw the Christ child as a threat to his own earthly power. And there's the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. And after those initial three sorrows, the fourth through the seventh sorrows are each depicted in the Stations of the Cross. So the fourth is Our Lady meeting Jesus on his way to Calvary. The fifth is the crucifixion and death of the Lord. The sixth is when Christ was taken down from the cross and placed in the arms of his mother. This is also portrayed very powerfully in the well-known Pietà statue, with that image of Mary holding the body of her Son after he's taken down from the cross. And the seventh and final sorrow is the burial of Christ. And so these seven sorrows united Our Lady ever closer to her Son. And we know that Our Lady suffered much in being united with her Son in his passion, but she didn't despair. She stood faithfully and firmly at the foot of the cross and offering her Son to the Heavenly Father. And she was constantly united with him to the very end. And perhaps to help us understand this, to enter more deeply into it, we can think of a mother who greatly loves her Son, her only Son, and yet she has to see him die, not die a natural death, but to be killed by executioners. And on top of that, to be surrounded by a crowd of people mocking him in his suffering. How did she endure all those sufferings, such great suffering at seeing her Son covered from head to foot and bloody wounds, seeing his head crowned with thorns, being nailed to the cross for 3 hours in agony, again, she beheld that, standing beneath his cross. So how did she endure it? What was her disposition? She endured that with perfect resignation to God's holy will. She sought to conform her will with God's divine plan, even in the death of her son for the salvation of our souls. And she endured that with heroic charity as she stood beneath the cross with her son to the very end. We might think that even though Our Lady was sinless, it was in God's plan that she would have a great share in the sufferings of her son. She suffered tremendously, and she was a perfect creature. She was God's most perfect creature. She never offended him, and yet it was in his plan that she experienced great suffering in her life. And why was that? This was not any sign of disfavor. Again, she did nothing to earn God's wrath, God's suffering, allowing God to permit suffering in her life. Yet it was to resemble her son, who is the man of sorrows. Remember, there's that prophecy in Isaiah 53 of the suffering servant that stated, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. So our Lord was the man of sorrows and Mary was Our Lady of Sorrows. She is Our Lady of Sorrows, sharing in the suffering of her son. And God showed his love for Our Lady by giving her a share in the cross and in the suffering of her son. So in light of this, we can think and examine ourselves. How do we react when we are confronted with the cross, when we encounter the cross in our daily lives? Our Lady embraced it without complaint. She embraced the cross with great love. So may we carry our cross with that same love with which she did. And we ask Our Lady's prayers and intercession today to help guide us through the sorrows and the trials that we experience in life, and that she might help guide us through this upcoming Holy Week, keeping our minds and our hearts on Christ, who suffered and died for love of us and for our salvation.